Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. We've just heard a portion of Johann Sebastian Bach's Toccata in F-sharp minor, BWV 910, performed by one of our guests today, pianist Dee Wu. We're very happy today to welcome two artists to Crossover, Warren Ory and Dee Wu. Warren Ory, of course, known for his involvement with jazz and being a jazz musician. Also, Dee Wu, an outstanding classical pianist. Warren, tell us a little bit about why we're talking to you. We're talking to you about Lifeline Music, or the Lifeline Music Coalition, I guess it is, and an event that you're going to be presenting.
That's correct. Well, we're talking because we're going to have a very exciting concert coming up Sunday, April the 13th, from 3 to 7 p.m. at the University of the Arts, Gershman Hall, Broad and Pine Street. And I'm excited to have this, I guess we can call it sort of like an interdisciplinary meeting of classical music and jazz music. And this time, though, instead of the jazz cats playing some classical, we have a very established classical pianist, Ms. Dee Wu, playing some jazz. And she's going to be performing with my group, the Arpeggio Jazz Ensemble. We're going to be doing a couple of Coltrane compositions, a Thelonious Monk piece, and one of my originals. So we're all very excited about this collaboration because I think it's going to send the message out that underneath it all, that's why our sub-theme for this is we're all the same, just different.
Yes, and of course, I think what happens very often is that you'll have jazz musicians playing classical, but you don't have many classical musicians actually playing jazz. And Dee, tell us a little bit about your background. You're really quite an accomplished artist.
Well, I view Philadelphia as a second home. I was in Philadelphia for 5 years as a student at the Curtis Institute of Music. And recently, I just participated as a soloist with the Curtis Sound Tour. As an alumni, actually, an alumni with them. So I have a very long affiliation with Philadelphia. And last year, I performed at the Mann Center of Performing Arts with the Philadelphia Orchestra. So coming back here to perform the first jazz concert, it's really meaningful and challenging and scary because, you know, obviously this is not what I'm known for and this is not my comfort zone. So I'm just crossing my fingers to hope for the best.
Well, when you say it's not your comfort zone, was it your idea to start playing jazz?
I've always been very, very interested in playing jazz. And actually, I took a course when I was in school in terms of jazz performing. However, I just didn't think I have what it takes. And, you know, Warren has been really nurturing and encouraging. And I think, you know, I'm finding a little groove in me that I didn't think that I had before.
Well, you're even speaking jazzy. So, what I was going to say was I remember, and I was very, very surprised some years back, it's not that long ago, that I found that jazz, both in Japan and in China, has become very, very, very popular. And I think that's very surprising, maybe because there have been so many Americans that are visiting. But you're also going to be playing with Is it Kin Qian? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Jin Qian is the name.
Jin Qian. Oh, see, my Chinese is no good. And that I know that an erhu is like a violin. That much I know. So how did that happen?
It originated with me. I worked with Jin Qian. I met her about 2 years ago. And I put together what I call the United Nations Band. We did something at the Whitney Art Museum. I had a performer from every continent except Antarctica, because the polar bears wouldn't cooperate. But every continent except Antarctica, I had a performer. So Jin Qian represented Asia. And I was really just taken by the instrument. It's so beautiful. And I was really taken by her ability to jump in on the jazz groove.
An erhu is like a violin, isn't it? I believe it's in the string family. Yeah,
it's like a sweet cello, but it's just so beautiful. Just the sound just takes me so many places, and so to hear her playing some jazz with that, I just thought was beautiful. So that's why I wanted her included in this concert.
In 1979, bassist Warren Ory started the Arpeggio Jazz Ensemble with the goal of bringing the Philadelphia jazz sound to the world. In September of 2003, Warren Ory and Graziella D'Amelio of Lifeline Music Coalition used their own funds to create the first Philadelphia Jazz and Poetry Festival, which was a 3-day event that included over 14 venues, mostly free, with over 60 Philadelphia jazz musicians and poets. With the desire to continue to promote and showcase Philly jazz musicians and artists, Graziella and Warren realized they would need to start their own nonprofit organization. Thus, Lifeline Music Coalition Incorporated became a reality as a nonprofit organization in November of 2003. The purpose of Lifeline Music Coalition Incorporated is to promote the knowledge, power, and influence of Philadelphia artists on jazz music in all its forms, specifically by establishing forums and opportunities for Philadelphia and Delaware Valley jazz musicians to actually present their music. LMC, which is Lifeline Music Coalition, also provides opportunities for cultural exchange and collaboration with worldwide community organizations and institutions. The goal of the We're All the Same, Just Different concert is to prove there are and improve and build existing connections in all music. Also, to dismiss the stereotypes that haunt the varying genres of music, particularly in their ability to work together, because after all, it's all music. Here now, the Arpeggio Jazz Ensemble performing from their album Touching Bass, Ridge Avenue Swing. Warren Ory on bass, Adam Falk piano, Umar Rahim sax, and Juju Jones on drums. From their album Touching Bass, we've just heard the Arpeggio Jazz Ensemble performing Ridge Avenue Swing. Warren Ory on bass, Adam Falk piano, Umar Rahim sax, and Juju Jones on drums. So now when you're saying playing jazz for our audience, I mean, jazz is a style of music, and it still uses notes and it uses chords and it uses rhythm. But there is a whole culture about learning how to play jazz, because a lot of classical musicians absolutely don't get it. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Jazz, to me, is more than notes and sounds. It's also a lifestyle. Jazz is the way you walk. the way you talk even, the way you just move. But more importantly, jazz is about taking a chance right there on the spot. I call it having your cake and eating it too, because you still have to know how to read, you still have to know how to follow the chord changes, but then you also have to know how to create on the spot, to improvise, to make something happen. It's like somebody not giving you a roadmap and saying, we want you to go through those woods right there, but there's no map. Just get through those woods the best way you can.
And we'll meet you on the other side, I think,
that's
also.
Right.
That's
hopefully
exactly what happens, yeah. Well, but it is so very different. I mean, you know, being a classical musician, you're used to having the notes written out for you. And of course, there are classical musicians that can improvise classical things, but essentially, I mean, it's a very different discipline. And I know that in the jazz where they're teaching now, like at the Berklee School and so on, they are also writing out, you know, chord progressions and so on to teach people, you know, the whole style of jazz. It's a different style. It's using the same notes, but the harmonic structure is very, very different. So it's really crossing the bridge. I mean, it's a tremendously different way of performing. And I think what happens to you, Dee? I mean, I'm not going to get too dramatic about this, but when you start playing jazz, I mean, when you're playing classical, you've got it right there. It's in front of you or in your head. What happens when you play a tune?
Well, the most difficult part about playing jazz is losing control, because, you know, with classical, that's one of the biggest things about it, is we're in control.
Right.
We need to anticipate. We need to plan ahead. So, jazz, you almost have to, I asked Warren, which is like, what do we do? My brain keeps interrupting me.
Yes.
And he's like, keep it out of the door. I was like, it's not how I was built. I think I can.
Oh, you do.
You know, turn it and somehow melt into my own self without actually keep thinking it, and then just use my ears and see how things leave me. And sometimes you actually have to stop worrying about what the chord progression is, because that becomes intrusive, actually. And then just go with the flow, which is very difficult, but I'm learning to do so.
but you've also got to know chords. I mean, it's not like you're just going to sit down and at the piano and kind of, you know, play away.
Yeah.
You've got to know, you got to know what a C major, C minor, C7 or whatever the heck it is. Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. It's not just, oh, I think I'm going to play jazz and I'm going to improvise. It's very, very involved. And it requires.
Yeah. I mean, I do, you know, first step about learning these pieces to get used to the chords and practice the chords and just go through the chords in different inversions and so forth. So, and then also, actually, one of the things to listen to the piece about 100 times. So you somehow just soak into the melody, soak into the improvisations, and then you can improvise based on those things.
You
have the foundation and then you improvise based on those things.
Right.
Well, has that interfered with your classical playing on some level?
No. I can switch. It's more classical playing interferes with a jazz playing, not the other way around. Because classical, you know, discipline is so deeply rooted into me that it's not an issue. It's more about letting go of that discipline while in the moment. And that's what I aim to do on Sunday.
The French Impressionists were already exploring jazz, in a sense, in the use of harmony. Maurice Ravel and Claude Debussy were in the forefront. And here we listen to an excerpt from the larger work Gaspard de la Nuit by Maurice Ravel, Ondine, performed by our guest today, pianist Dee Wu.
Thank you.
We've just heard Maurice Ravel's Ondine from his larger work, Gaspard de la Nuit. This is an excerpt from a live performance by our guest today, pianist Dee Wu. She was a finalist in the 2009 Van Cliburn competition. How long now have you been doing this, and are you, you're going to be performing, of course, on Sunday, but are you going to be making any recordings, do you think?
You know, I've thought about that, and I think that it's worthy of being documented. Like, we are going to do some documentation at the concert, but the more Dee and I have gotten together and played the music, the more I do hear something. You know, I can really hear her. In two configurations, you know, I have the Philadelphia Freedom Jazz Orchestra, and I can hear her doing something there. And, of course, with my arpeggio jazz ensemble, the quintet, I can hear the input there because, as she mentioned, she is playing the music, but it's coming from a fresh voice for me. It's not coming from the jazz school, which is what I love. I remember one time I worked with a singer, and she said, "I'm sorry, I don't know any jazz." And I said, "Beautiful. That's what I want, because I want somebody who's going to give it a fresh sound." So that's the way I feel with Dee Wu. Although I must say, when I first met her, one of the things I was really struck by was the way she looked playing the piano. That's what got me, because she reminded me of cross between Thelonious Monk and Don Pullen and McCoy Tyner.
Not bad.
You know what I mean? Her body language was just so strong. She was so percussive. I said, "Oh, yeah." And that's what got the idea kicking in my head. I said, "I've got to get this lady to play some jazz."
That's interesting.
So it's been a little bit of a trek, but here we are.
Well, I think it's fantastic. So once again, what do you do? Do you have sets that you're going to play? Do you have a series of songs that you're going to be doing?
Well, the way we're going to do it, and as always with my company, Lifeline, you know, we like to give the young cats a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really opening up the whole concert with the Clef Club Youth Band and then the University of the Arts Jazz Ensemble. So each of these bands will have about a half an hour. And then Dee Wu and Chin Chan will be coming on with my group. And we're just going to do one set, about an hour-long set. We've got about five or six tunes that we're going to do. And then that will do it. So we're basically just doing one set.
Well, it's really, really very, very exciting. And I'm sure it's a wonderful discovery for you also, Dee, because it's another side of you and your personality. And it is a discipline. I think jazz is a discipline as well. So
yeah.
I just say it's wonderful. And again, what are the hours, the times, Warren, for this?
Okay. 3 to 7 p.m. Again, it's on Sunday, April the 13th. At the University of the Arts, Gershman Hall, Broad and Pine Street, and the Elaine Levitt Auditorium on the third floor from 3 to 7 p.m. And the key is, let me get a drum roll, Juju, it's free. It is absolutely free and open to the public. And we are expecting a good time, some jazz people, some classical people, and we're going to blend it all together. And that's why I'm calling it a jazzical concert. And we will have the Clef Club band open up, then the University of the Arts band, then around 4:45 or so, Dee Wu, Chin Chan, and my band, we will come on and close the concert out with about an hour-long set. So it's going to be fun. Some Coltrane music, some Monk, and one of my original compositions.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. I hope you'll record it.
Well, like I said, it will be documented, so it will be some documentation, but I do want to give it some legs and take it beyond that one day, most definitely.
Well, it's wonderful to blend the two styles, and Dee, lots of luck. I mean, I wish you luck.
You know,
I'm a classical musician and I'm shaking here for you.
I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, my goodness. How is she going to do this? You're going to break out into the Chopin Polonaise or something like that.
No,
Well, that would be interesting. You could do that in a jazz version, huh? How about that? A jazz version. Warren, you should think of taking some classical pieces and playing them jazz style.
I think I told you, I'm not sure if I told you last time we talked, but Mozart's Concerto Number 1 for flute, that is my baby.
Oh, that's great. That sounds good.
Yeah, and I've already got some plans on how I'm going to jazz that up a little bit. So,
That's counterpoint. That's kind of easy, you know. But, I mean, you have to get into the juicier things and jazz them up like Strauss.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to you. You let me know what the juicy ones are.
Well, listen, Maurice Ravel was on that track. I mean, he loved the blues chords.
Okay.
You know, so we in the Impressionist period, that's where they were going. So you're right on track. Okay, we wish you great success. And once again, the number to call to get tickets is what?
215-421-3688. Or you can go to the website, lifelinemusiccoalition.com.
And once again, Sunday, April 13th from 3 to 7 p.m. That's when
right.
It happens.
That's
thanks.
All
well, thanks
you.
So much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Take care.
We've been speaking with pianist Dee Wu and bassist Warren Ory about the exciting concert that they're giving with the Arpeggio Jazz Ensemble on Sunday, April 13th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the University of the Arts. I'm Jill Pasternak. You're listening to Crossover.